Hello, friends. Welcome to the Neighborhood Church Podcast. You can go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org to get more information on how you can get even better connected. Have a good and beautiful day and enjoy the message.
Mastering the art of being human, that our goal is that we want to be incredibly healthy humans. And when we say we want to be Jesus-looking people, we want to be healthy humans. And we've talked about being resilient, we've talked about being present, and today I'm telling you a story about judging. I went to a youth pastors conference, this would have been 7-8 years ago, and they had a breakout session, like a panel, where all these youth pastors can come in and, you know, tell us all what we're doing wrong. And so there's like 30 of us, and there's 6 people on the stage. And so I'm looking at them, and I'm going around, going down. And all of a sudden, there's this one guy who's got like this wispy red hair, and he's got all these freckles, and he's wearing just like some cut-off shorts and a really like T-shirt that you probably still had from high school. And instantly, I'm like, this is the best that we can do, right? Some dude who just probably woke up like 3 minutes ago walking on stage, and I, by his appearance, I incredibly judge him. And I'm thinking, whatever he's going to say is going to be ridiculous, it's going to be something stupid. And the panel starts talking, and it gets to this guy named DJ, and DJ opens his mouth, and I already rolled my eyes. I'm like, oh, brother. And he has something incredibly intelligent to say. And I'm like, whoa, hold on. Like, people like you just make fart jokes, all right? You don't share anything professional to us. Well, he talked, and it was brilliant. I walked up to him, and I'm like, I really liked what you had to say, and we became really good friends. His name's DJ. He's a pastor out in Colorado. But I walked away thinking of something of like, why did I judge him? Why? What is it about this guy that bothered me? Turns out, we're exactly alike, DJ and I. So essentially, I was critiquing me up there and saying, this guy's a loser. No, don't take him seriously, right? Have you been here before where you walk in a room and you make some sort of judgment based on what a person's wearing, that they weigh more than you, that they weigh less than you, that they drive a different kind of car than you? Like, we are super, super good at judging. Like, maybe you've played this game before. You're driving on the interstate, and you see the car in front of you, and either it's like really nice, or it's really not nice. And in your head, you're like, I gotta see who's driving that car, right? Right? And it's never a Camry. I'm sorry, if you're driving a Camry, everyone's just like, eh, right? It's like, it's just like the middle of like, just forgettable, all right? I'm sorry. Ford Escape, same thing. But if you drive a red van that is called the tank, and only one door handle works, and the whole back end's rusted out, that's what I drove for many years, right? I could tell you, a lot of people on 35 would, like, drive up and look at me and say, yep, figures. They're like, oh, nailed it, right? Or maybe you've done it with a nicer car, and you judge someone and saying, well, how does someone like that have a car like this? And you start thinking of, are they taking advantage of the government? And we've all been there at some point of making judgments about people. And maybe you've been the recipient of some of that judgment. And that always makes you feel really warm and fuzzy, doesn't it? Like, oh, I'm so glad that people are talking behind my back about my parenting styles. Oh, yay, right? It hurts. Like, judgment comes out of this thing called bias, right? Bias, we all have bias. We all pretend that we don't, right? You can take out the word bias, and you can even put in, like, the word racism, right? And you could say, ah, I don't have a racist bone in my body, says every ignorant person, right? Because we all do to some level. See, bias is formed by your experience, by the books that your parents read or they didn't read, by how you were introduced to any kind of diverse thought or people group, to the kind of movies that you laugh at, to the kind of friends that you have. And your bias, right, some of it is intentional, and some of it is just like, oh, I just grew up. And then when something enters outside of your normal rhythm, something outside of your normal experience, like pops in, your bias is exposed. Because you feel bad, or you feel threatened, you feel unsafe, or you feel like this is too risky, and maybe start breathing a little heavier, and you like start looking around the room for the exits, right? And when your bias gets exposed, it's what you do with it that matters, because that's when judgment or being judgmental comes into play. So where we do this very, very healthy, and that's a joke, is dinner parties. We are the king of judging people and our bias being exposed at dinner parties, especially if it's with like a newer group of friends or with employees and it's outside of the office and you walk in the home and you look around and you say, oh, so this is where you keep your shoes, right? Like a judgment call of, because we keep our shoes on this side of the house, right? And your mind, you're like, you put ketchup on that? Nope, you're going to hell, right? Right? That's an extreme judgment, right? Or you're like, oh, you're going to let your kid have more of that food? You're going to wear that? You're going to listen to that kind of music? And you're in this place in someone else's home or your home, and you begin to make judgments. And it is killing us. Because when we spend our time and energy on other people and trying to control other people and manipulate other people, it does nothing but hurt us. And this is like a very normal thing. And what we do is we use the word love. Well, I love you, Tori, but that's a horrible shirt. I love your shirt. It's not right. We can use it as a showing as a form of love, but we are judging other people and we're holding other people down in order to make ourselves feel better. And lucky for us, Jesus speaks about this a lot, because I never met anyone who considers himself judgmental, right? No one like owns it. Like, yeah, I'm super judgmental and very critical, and I'm proud of it, right? Like, we're all pretty much blind to our bias, blind to how we might show up and judge other people, but it actually is hurting us. It's holding us back. So how can we actually like move on? How do we grow? And Jesus speaks to this in Matthew 6, the end of it. It's on the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking to people about being present. This is what we talked about 2 weeks ago. And he says, hey, you know, the birds in the air, they're not worrying about like where their meal's going to be coming from. And the flowers in the field aren't worried about what they're going to wear. Just chill out. If God, a good, loving God, is going to provide for them, how much more this God who's crazy about you give you every single thing that you need? So don't worry about tomorrow. Be present today. Jesus says that and then goes right on to Matthew 7, which we're going to be reading about, where he's talking about logs and hogs. That is literally what he's talking about, right? Wood and pigs. And it's interesting because Jesus goes to like being present and being like not being riddled with anxiety. And then he goes on to judging other people. And it's actually very healthy because being present is all about you. It's all about yourself. And then judging and judgmental is all about other people, that we can be okay and other people can be okay. And Jesus does not waste any time by getting right into cutting to the heart. And this is what he says. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Verse 3. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn to tear you to pieces. Wow, thanks, Jesus. That's great. So, right? Socrates, or Socrates, as my dad taught me to say it, says, the unexamined life is not worth living. And this is exactly what Jesus is talking about. He's saying that we need to be meticulous in our view of our hearts. We have to be like so crazy aware of what's happening internally. That is the most important thing. But we avoid this at all costs. Why? It's exhausting. Right? If you've ever gone on some sort of like silent retreat, or you've gone away for like a silent half hour and you're like, I want to really just focus on myself. And you get quiet and you quiet your mind and things start to slow down and you begin to like identify of like what you really feel or what you really think or what you really believe. There's some hard things in there. So we're like, oh, let's just ignore it and watch more Netflix. Right? Yeah, Mary's like, yeah, it's a great idea. Sign me up. So that is easier. It's easier to look at other people and judge other people and deal with what they're doing in their life. It's easier for me to critique DJ, my friend, right, about how he's showing up to some sort of professional thing instead of thinking about me and what kind of professional I want to be. It is exhausting and it's hard. But it is critical that we become self-aware. Because it's in those spaces, right, of when our bias comes up. If you don't know what your bias is, you don't know how to even move through it. A lot of people, since they're not aware of what their bias is, they just blow right through it and say whatever they want. And it's hurtful. And to examine your own life means that you have to be willing to see the hard spots in your life, the dark spots in your life, the beautiful spots of your life. But we just sadly, we don't take enough time. And when we don't do that, then we move into a judgmental space, then we really try controlling other people. And there's certain words that you can hear that you can understand. Maybe we're using trying to control other people instead of doing the work ourselves. And the word is, I have to get it right. It says, school and the blank agenda. As a youth pastor, I heard this phrase a lot from parents coming in because the thing they love most is their kid, and they want to do everything they can to help their kid set them up for success. And there was this fear in the school, and if you were a professional in the schools, you might have heard some of these as well. Like someone has come up to me and said, Chris, you know what? The liberal agenda is tearing apart our school. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. Okay, thanks for sharing, right? Chris, you know, the feminine agenda is tearing apart our school. The gay agenda is tearing apart our schools. The trans agenda is tearing apart our school. Like, the Black Lives Matter, tearing apart our school. Like, I've heard them all. I didn't know there was this many agendas and all these schools being torn apart, right? One guy 4 years ago came up to me and said, you know that our school is being torn apart by the gay agenda. I'm like, wow, I didn't know that. What school? He's like, well, what do you mean? Like, you just said, like, schools are being torn apart by this agenda. Like, what school? He's like, well, you know what I mean. I said, no, I don't. Which one? Let's look it up. He didn't like that answer too much, right? But when we respond out of fear and we're trying to control another demographic of people or a group of people or our neighbors or our spouse or our kids, and we're using the saying, well, let's keep people as far away from me so then I don't have to deal with my own bias, or I don't have to have these conversations with my kid. Let's keep everything the same. Let's keep everything perfect. That way, we can continue being exactly who we are. Instead of putting your time and energy into saying, well, this is what we look like, right? For me, for our Sodders, we tell our kids, this is what it looks like to show up as a Sodder. This is how we love. This is how we operate. This is how we behave, right? This is like we never put our socks on the table because mom will yell at you because that's exactly what I do, right? Like, we were to put our energy in that instead of trying to control all these other external things. But we have a culture that would much rather try to control and keep other people down and trying to manipulate other groups of people so that we can continue to feel safe. And it's not working. Like, we will spin ourselves out of control when we operate out of fear or judgment. And it's interesting, like, the people that I emulate, the people that I want to be like, are people who are focused on themselves, but in a healthy way. It's funny, yeah. Slapping my own back, right? Focus on myself. But people who are focused on themselves and their growth mindset and trying to heal and trying to grow, but then can show up and just love the person right in front of them. Regardless of who they are, regardless of how they believe or what they believe, regardless of how they vote, they always are willing to give them the best. And you can't do that if you live in a judgmental mindset, because everything is something to be critiqued. There's always more to be angry at. Like, have you met someone like this, where they just operate out of judgment? There's someone in my life who every time I bump into them, they tell me something else about some sort of like the local gossip in town, and then will say judgmental things about that person. And I've talked to them. I'm like, hey, I really don't want to hear about that. Like, I don't need to know. But like, it never ever stops. And it's interesting. It's like they're not happy. They're not happy. They'll just keep going back to that well, thinking, if I just get a little bit more information, if I just try critiquing them a little bit more, if I just like say the right thing to maybe help them move, like it will never be enough because we were created to operate on love. And the reality is that we do have to judge. This is a healthy thing to judge, but how you judge matters. And that's why Jesus starts by saying, like, whatever energy you use on another person to judge is gonna be used against you or used with you. Like, I have to be able to look at my kids and make some sort of judgment about their health, about their emotional health, about the socks on the table, right? I have to be able to say, we don't do that. But how you show up and how you use your energy when you're judging people means everything. And we can be a healthy people. So like, what can we do? How then can we grow? Because if Jesus says that we have to have this like meticulous view and be self-aware, this is then when Jesus says, but like the pearls. So imagine this, you have some pearls, pearls are expensive, and you throw them at a pig, which I don't know why we do, but let's just say you do, right? Pig has two options. Pig can pick up those pearls, even though it doesn't have thumbs, put it on, and then go get that really slim-fitting black dress, put it on so it really highlights the pearls, maybe get some accessory jewelry, and then go hit the town, right? Or the hog maybe might look at the pearls as food because the world to them is just food and they will eat anything and everything, right? And if the hog chooses to treat it as food, it will go through its system. This is how science works. And it will go back into the mud, and that's it was where it will live. And that's not what pearls were created for. What Jesus is saying is the way you use your words, the way you use your energy, the way you show up, the way you love, if you're going to be judgmental, if you're going to make a critique, if you're going to make a comment, does the person like take the pearls and put it on? Like, do the words land in a place that is life-giving? Does that Facebook post that you shared really to like everyone, but really it's just for one person? Yeah, you've been there before, right? And is it really landing in a place of where they're like, whoa, Facebook has changed my life? No, right? You have to be present. You have to be in the space with these people as you make these comments. And we should. Thank God that I have people in my life judge me on something and show up and say, Chris, you can do better. Chris, you can be better. Chris, you can be healthier in these things. But those people who take the time to judge me in a loving way are people that are in my life and can see the trajectory of their words, of their comments. And you could have the best intent, the best intent. Most people, when they make judgments of other people, are probably not because they hate them, but they think that they're right. And they see something like, well, no, Sarah, I want the best for you, and you should just do this, right? It's usually, like I said already, but usually it's like, I love you, but... I've had a lot of, I love you, but, I'm like, here it comes. Just come at me, right? And their judgment sometimes isn't helpful. So if you're willing to show up in love, if you're willing to share some of those critiques or those thoughts, you have to be able to see the impact. Your intent could be good. The impact could be devastating. And it might even be something really positive, like, hey, yeah, we'll borrow you that money. Yeah, well, yeah, come over for dinner. We'd love to show you some stuff. We'd love to share these ideas. Oh, yes, of course you want my advice for your dating life, right? And you might think this is the best idea ever, but you have to see the fruit of your decisions and your words. And if it is not putting the pearls on, if it's not life-giving, then we need to reevaluate. We need to back up. And that is a very healthy thing. So if the idea is that we have bias and we see it, and how then do we grow? If Jesus says, let's focus on the plank in our own eye before we move to the speck in someone else's eye, there's a couple of practical things that we can do to move forward to be healthier people. And the first one is this, is that we need to surrender control. And this is like Christianity 101. This is like where we start when it comes into the kingdom of God. We have to surrender control to God. And it starts with us. We talk often about living an open-handed life versus a closed-handed life. We have to surrender our hopes, our dreams, our life, our bias, all that to this benevolent God and trust that God has nothing but good things for us. And anytime that we hold open our life and then we're like, ooh, I think I got this part, right? About my finances, my sexuality, or whatever it might be. And we're like, no, I'm going to hold on to that one. God, you get everything else. It doesn't lead to the life that you want. And it takes effort and purpose and energy and clarity to say, God, today, I'm surrendering control to this benevolent God, to this good and beautiful God. And you get to put in whatever you want, and you get to take out whatever you want. But then, it doesn't stop there. Then we have to surrender control to the people around us. And when Jesus says to love our enemies, right? This is not just some like theoretical thing. This is not some cool hashtag or a t-shirt. Jesus literally is saying, the people who create hellish experiences in your life, can you love them? And that's asinine, right? That is not an easy thing to do. God is saying, if you're going to love, can you surrender control for the people in your life, the people that you love, and even the people that you tolerate, and even the people that just bother you? And what does that look like to surrender control? Because it's a great idea, right? I had a mentor tell me, saying, Chris, God loves your kid. God loves my son, Cole, Kira, Max, significantly more than I could ever hope to love them. And when he said that to me, I was like, I think I love my kid pretty good, right? And then when I thought about, like, I have to surrender control, because the way I want to love my kids, I'm great at this, is, like, I have some great dreams and ideas for their life, right? I have some wonderful plans for my kids' life, and I have to be willing to put that back on the table and say, but God, you get to speak to my kid, and you get to show up in my kid's life, because you love them way more than I ever could, and I actually believe that. I have to be open-handed with the people around me. And it's when you do that, then you don't need to have some negative judgmental bias or views or words, because I'm using all those things, like, go back to my kids, I could say some things that could get a faster result to my preferred result, right? I could say, well, if I just shame my kid, that works, right? Someone told me, shame gets the shoes on, right? Yelling gets the shoes on. If you're like, hey guys, maybe consider, I don't know, putting shoes on and we can leave in, I don't know, 2 years, right? But if you show up, it's like, get those shoes on! You know, fear and shame. They're like, oh, we have to get their shoes on, right? That's how my kid, I mean, you know, if you yell, he's like, oh, I'll start doing it. It's great, right? Me invoking fear, me judging, can get a result faster. But is it the result I want? And if you're willing to surrender control to this benevolent God of yourself and of the people around you, then you can show up and love, and we don't need to manipulate and control. We can really, really love. Second thing. So we have to surrender. Second thing is this, is that when you get curious or your bias is exposed, like, move towards people. Our first instinct when our bias comes up, something different of our normal experience shows up, a lot of us just want to, like, retreat or move away. And I say, when something curious pops up, listen. Several years ago, when a young black man was killed in Minneapolis by a police officer, and the Black Lives Matter, this the movement was relatively new, and they showed up and they protested and they shut down 94. You guys remember this? Interstate 94 or Highway 94? And when I saw that they shut down traffic and it was like went forever and people were stuck. They had nowhere to go. And there was people on the 94 not letting cars go through. I got angry. I wish I could tell you, like, I'm so woke. And I was like, oh, I totally understand. I got my bias showed, because my first thought was, like, all those people in traffic, they didn't ask to be there. They had nothing to do with what happened with that officer and that young man. They had nothing. They're just going from work, trying to get home. Their kids are probably in daycare. It's going to cost more money. What an inconvenience. And my reaction was actually anger. And I was talking with one of my friends about it. And I'm like, who do these people think they are, right? I said, yeah, it's true. I said, who do these people think they are? And they stopped. They looked at me. And they said, Chris, do you think maybe that's the point? Like, what do you mean? He goes, maybe these people who are in traffic, just for a moment, that they did not ask to be stuck in this lane. They did not ask that they had no options. Even though they're angry, they can't respond because they're stuck in a car. Do you think maybe just like for a moment, they're helping us be able to feel what they feel every single day? That these black people who are in these neighborhoods, in these towns, feel this every single day? And because of my privilege, I'm not even in the line. I'm not even in the car. I'm watching on the news. I mean, I feel angry. And it it blew my mind of how my bias, because I'm white, right? Because my bias, I was able to look and totally miss everything that they were trying to communicate. Can you see us? Can you feel what we feel? Just even for a little bit. And I did. But it took me walking through the anger. It took me having conversations. It took me of saying, I don't like this uncomfortable feeling. When that pops up, and you have to be self-aware to realize when your bias pops up, lean in and move and learn. And learn. It's a beautiful thing. So here's my encouragement. The same thing I say all the time. Find different authors. Find different voices. Find different people who look different than you, that maybe worship different than you, who think or vote different than you, and ask a lot of questions, because it can help us grow, and we need to. All right, third thing. So we want to move towards people, and in fact, there's some people that we need to move away from. It's kind of like exact opposite of what I just said. When you walk into a space continually over and over and over again, and you're being judged, and you're being critiqued, like, we show up in love, and we want to be healthy, and we want to be whole, but there's some circles, maybe you have like a circle of friends that's just toxic, you can move away. You can take a break. You can set up some boundaries and say, hey, the way that you talk to me, the way you talk about these people, the way you talk about this demographic of people is just not okay. And I'm going to continue to move in a place of love, but this is too toxic. because you have to remove yourself from judgmental circles. And I think maybe there's someone here that you need to hear that. Saying, you mean I can like set up healthy boundaries with my in-laws? Yes, yes, you can. You mean I can actually have a voice with this like circle at work? Yeah, yeah, you can. All right, the fourth one, I forgot what it is. Oh, there's only two more, is add value. Everywhere you go, you have an opportunity to add value. That when you see people, if you are examining your own heart and you are working on yourself and you surrender control to God and control of the other people around God, then everywhere you go is an opportunity to add value. And you know who these people are. These are people who show up when you see them, they're like, hey, how are you? And they mean it. Or they compliment your shirt. Or they ask about your kids. They ask about, how's your sleep? Like, they just, like, do you have these people in your life where they show up and you just feel better when you walk away? You're like, ah, man, I love that, right? You can be that person. But it has to be a conscious decision. Instead of being judgmental, you can show up and you can say, today, when I walk into work, today, when I see my kids, today, when I see my friends, I am going to add significant value everywhere I go. And last is this. This is Psalm 26. Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. This is a prayer you can pray every day because this is a prayer that God loves to answer. Test me and show me what's in my heart. God said, no problem. I'm on it. But if you're willing to be in that space, friends, of being self-aware and allowing this good God, that what this God reveals to us, and trust that maybe it's not bad, it might be hard. Last week we talked about being resilient, that it might be the best thing for you. Friends, we can really move in a place of love. Hey, Theo, what's up, bud? Theo's coming up. See, I got something to tell you. All right. Okay, let's stand. Let's pray. My heart, friends, my heart is that we really could continue to transcend, continue to grow, and that maybe even just for a moment, that there was something in your life that you realized, oh yeah, I do treat that person or those people or that demographic differently, and that we could just grow and move in love. So let me pray. Please join me. So God, we love you, and I thank you for your kindness, God, that the things that I think, things that I have said, the things that we have done, you still look at us and say that we are loved. And I thank you for that generosity. I thank you that your love is continually and incredibly generous. And yet you still call us to more, to continue to move, continue to be transformed. So I pray for those of us who have been judged, like that word from that coach, the word from that parent, that we still carry with us. I ask God that you'd bring life and you'd bring healing. And I pray that you would expose our hearts to our biases. And that you'd show us that by saying those words, by posting that thing, by sharing that information, that it is not helping to get where we really want to be. And where we really want to be is to be an incredibly Jesus-looking person. So God, I pray that you'd bring healing to the way we talk and view other people as well. So God, will you be with us through the rest of this weekend? And we love you. Amen. I'm going to welcome up our bother you, like, oh, that was like so long ago. But you still wake up some days and you can still hear that voice that says you will never accomplish anything, whatever it might be. You don't need to carry that around with you anymore. The people up here would love to pray for you or anything else, and have a great rest of your weekend.